Hello and welcome to our program. We're in Philippians chapter 2. We'll be looking at verse number 1. Have your Bible ready. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." We're going to look at this in a minute, but before we do, listen to this message and song by Mina Oglesby. This is a story of the Pharisee and a wicked city woman. Listen to this message. It's found in Luke chapter 7.
I heard the gossip from my window. I ran to Simon's lovely home. I knew I'd never be invited, for a city woman was known. The Pharisee has much to offer of his great knowledge, wealth, and goods. But all I have are years of weeping, no fancy food or pretty words. I'd bathe his feet with tears and kisses. Perfume I'd give him from my bowl. Ah, what dreams of his forgiveness, what hungering to be made whole. I saw him enter and be seated. I could not hide the joy I felt to be so near the precious Jesus. At his poor tired feet I knelt. Oh Lord, my love is all I offer. I lay my life down at your feet. With tears I begged for his forgiveness. With my own hair I wiped his feet. A crown could Simon upon him, a thousand gifts he could have spared, but in his heart he scorned the prophet and the city woman kneeling there. Well, Jesus knew, and he said, "Simon, you gave no water for my feet. You gave no kiss, no oil anointing. You only offered me your meat." She bathed my feet with tears and kisses, and ointment from a precious give her years of sinning, for her faith has made her whole. Such words of joy, such words of mercy, upon this sinner's ears did fall. When we show faith and true repentance, the Savior answers when we call. We dare not judge my lofty brother. The grace of God is shed to all, and it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart that giveth all. And it will cover with forgiveness the broken heart. giveth all.
Reading again Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, if there be any, therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now we have the word if here. It's an interesting word. It could have been translated since or because. It's not putting a question mark there on whether there's consolation in Christ and comfort of his love and fellowship of the Spirit. It's not putting a question mark there. It's kind of like Philippians 4:18, where it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these. Well, of course there's virtue and of course there's praise. It's not putting a question mark there. It's saying since there's virtue and since there's praise, think on these. Now, in Philippians 2 and 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ. The word therefore is in the Bible 1,237 times. And whenever we see it, we should ask ourselves what it's there for. It's found in the book of Philippians 6 times. And it's pointing back in this case to Philippians 1:29 that says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. And so now in the context of that statement, he says, therefore, because you are going to suffer. Remember, this church was born out of suffering. You can read about it back in the book of Acts, where the church at Philippi got underway and Paul and Silas ended up being beaten and put in prison and so on. He said, therefore, because you are suffering and you are going to face persecution, therefore, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. So what he's talking about here is you need to beware, because the devil's plan is to divide and conquer. What we need to have here is unity. Now, this Philippian church, you can imagine them getting this letter that day. I don't think they had a problem with disunity. I think the situation was that Paul, who had seen a lot of things happening in churches, realized that the devil wants to break up the unity, so he's warning them ahead of time. In fact, he said in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 3, they need to be endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring means to work hard at something, to be earnest and industrious in your effort to sustain something over a period of time. And what the something is here is unity. Now keep in mind, this church at Philippi, they're all brand new young Christians. Lydia and her family would be there. No doubt the demon-possessed girl, the Philippian jailer and his family, these are all new converts. And Nero is under attacking them. He hates Christians. And therefore, Paul says, you need to endeavor to keep the unity. Keep the unity. Now, Philippians 3:15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Keep a focus on the unity. Nevertheless, he said in verse 16, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Keep together. Philippians 4 and 2, he said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. They're obviously having some disagreement there. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so back in verse number 1 here in Philippians chapter 2, again, if there be any consolation in Christ, if there be any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he said, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. Now, since there be consolation in Christ, there is a consolation in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 says, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. God hath given us everlasting consolation. So we know there is consolation in Christ. And then he said, if any comfort, yeah, the verse also says in verse 16 that he would comfort our hearts and establish us in every good word and every good work. And so then he says, and if there be any fellowship of the Spirit, yeah, there is. 1 John 1:3 says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse number 3, Paul says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Now, again, I don't think they had a problem with this at the time, but what he's saying is look out, because it's going to come if the devil has his way. There's going to be strife and vainglory. Now, vainglory is a pride in oneself or in one's achievement. The old nature is in every one of us, and we're going to let the old nature have control. Then we're going to have a pride problem. And by the way, only by pride cometh contention, the Bible says. And so if there's going to be division in the church, it's going to be the foundation of that is going to be pride. And so he says, let nothing be done through vainglory, the pride in oneself or in one's achievement. And then he said, let nothing be done through strife. Now, yeah, we're going to have a problem with strife. The disciples did. Back in Luke 22, verse 24, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be counted the greatest. Can you imagine the disciples having this problem? Well, once again, the Bible says only by pride cometh contention, and there's some contention among the disciples as who should be the greatest. Now, if they had a problem with this, then perhaps you and I have a problem with it too if we're not careful. Only by pride cometh contention. That word contention has been translated strife in Proverbs 17 and verse 19. And Paul says in verse 3 of Philippians, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And so then in verse number 5 of Philippians chapter 2, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And he goes into detail about that here. Let this mind be in you. Let. That word means not preventing something. Now, if the Holy Spirit has his way in our lives, the Bible will guide us into all truth, and there's not going to be any reason for strife as to who's going to be the greatest. You know, we have a lot of those problems in our churches today. Well, I think I'm smarter than you are. You just keep quiet and listen to me, and everything will be okay. There's a lot of that in our so-called fundamentalism today. And so we have Christ as an example here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Verse 7 says, number 1, he made himself of no reputation. Number 2, he took upon him a form of a servant. Number 3, he was made in the likeness of men. Number 4, he humbled himself. And number 5, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Well, we'll expand that a little more in our next program, but here's a good lesson for us. The Bible says that Jesus humbled himself. Now, he didn't have a pride problem. We do. And if we are going to be Christ-like, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, we're called by his name, Christian is Christ one, that's what it means. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, humble ourselves, and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal the land. Well, Paul's concern wasn't the land. Paul's concern here was this little church at Philippi, which started out in back in the book of Acts here, where they had such a hard time of persecution, ended up in jail, and a positive little church came out of it. Paul wanted to keep it that way. So if you want the church to stay that way, very simple. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their church. Now, it doesn't say church. It was written to Israel. It's talking about the land, but the application is there.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar your all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. And tell all the love He will send from above. Oh, how happy our hearts will be made. Oh, what fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield him your body and soul.